This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. Citizenship is a question of pluralism, a question of recognizing the identity of the other on the basis of respect. That's what Jordan's Prince El-Hassan bin Talal told Vatican Radio following an interfaith meeting here in the Vatican on the theme Shared Values in Social and Political Life. The two-day closed-door meeting, the 3rd to the 4th of May, was organized by the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue and included Christian and Muslim delegates. His Royal Highness, as chairman of the Board of Trustees of the Royal Institute of Interfaith Studies, headed a delegation of men and women involved in interfaith dialogue. Prince El-Hassan was one of 30 members of the organization received in audience Wednesday by Pope Francis. In speaking to them, the Pope recalled with great joy his visit to Jordan and said the group's work is a task of construction that comes at a time in which we are accustomed to the destruction wrought by war. And he urged them to continue on the journey of dialogue and of bringing people together. I asked His Royal Highness where this journey has led.
I believe that rising to the higher values referred to by His Holiness Pope Francis on Wednesday is my expectation of this dialogue. To rise to constructive values of, in the Arabic world, Imran, construction, simply put, but broadly put, psychological and physical rebuilding of our mindset towards the issue, which is an issue of territoriality, identity, and migration worldwide, as I see it, is the challenge that we face. How to look at human dignity without discrimination and without silos. What I mean by silos is that there are international organizations that deal on a binary basis with this organization or that organization, with this group of beneficiaries, migrants, refugees, stateless persons. We've even now entered into the immoral reference to some groups of people as un-people. And I think in this regard, stripping people of their nationality is not going to improve the chances of losing large numbers of young people who join radical groups simply because they feel they do not have any other option or because they feel that the incentives are the way they are. So I think that this dialogue, and we announced a decalogue of dialogue in 2014 in Amman, is actually achieving certain objectives. And among those objectives is the practical work being done by the monitoring facilities of academics who are looking at the Arab, Christian and Muslim image vis-a-vis the world in which we live, and correspondingly asking those who are concerned with projecting the European concerns or the Western concerns, how can we meet in a middle ground whereby we look at liberties in the context of a good neighborhood policy on the one side and the Eurasian policy on the other.
Here in Rome, you've been discussing shared values in social and political life. The Royal Institute just last month in Jordan was involved in a workshop on fostering citizenship and on cultural and religious diversity. There was even talk of a citizenship incubator, I understand. It's interesting that you should feel that such initiatives are needed in Jordan, where on a whole, there's a good sense of common citizenship in a majority Muslim nation with Christians and other faiths as a minority. Is enough being done in your part of the world to foster citizenship and diversity?
In the case of Jordan, we were supposed to be 2.5 million people in 1991. Today we are over 9 million people. We've had a war practically every decade since 1948, 56, 67, 73, and the list goes on to include the Iraq wars and the Iraq-Iran wars. And every war has meant that Jordan and Lebanon, for example, have paid the price with the forced migration, and of course before that the Palestinian forced migration. So the question of citizenship is a question of pluralism, a question of recognizing the identity of the other on the basis of respect. And in that regard, I believe that the Amman message, which we have tried to simplify in the future, I think there will be a revisiting of both the Marrakesh Declaration on Education and the Amman message, so that the question of identity is one of recognizing the other, recognizing that the Christian population is dwindling in the region as a whole, which is quite alarming because of the increase of Muslim migrants into Jordan, of course. This is a relative situation. But in a world of virtual reality, maybe the concept of dual nationality, and I don't only mean to be a Christian and a believer, as has been repeated, or a Muslim and a believer for that matter, but the dual nationality of people traveling to different parts of our shared world is something to be emphasized. And, of course, with the millions of Jordanians, Palestinians, Lebanese in Latin America and different parts of the world, I think that we have to develop a dialogue whereby we recognize the identity of the other on the basis of respect and at the same time recognize the regional commons that we share, not least of all in the area of education of the young.
You have had a massive influx of refugees from Syria, hundreds of thousands of them. Most have been absorbed into local communities, and about 20%, I understand, live in camps. But Jordan can't do it alone. Is the international community doing its part?
Well, I look forward to the realization of the pledges and the delivery of those pledges as they were made in the London conference on assisting the countries who have suffered the consequences of the Syrian debacle and the Syrian civil war. But these consequences, I believe, whether in infrastructure, education, jobs, economy, should be looked at in terms of a regional stabilization plan. And in that regard, I'm quite impressed with the statement of Senator Lindsey Graham calling for a Marshall Plan. I hope he is taken seriously, as indeed I hope that the Bretton Woods, the World Bank, and the IMF are taken seriously in their call for a stabilization fund. But to be proactive, I think that a regional bank for reconstruction and development should be encouraged. I can't understand why our region is the only region in the world where we don't have a regional bank, where we have to respond to the initiative taken by others beyond our region. And I do think that empowering Arab Muslims to do the responsible thing through the creation of an international zakat fund at the summit in Istanbul, the humanitarian summit, is to be looking in detail at this issue. I think that a time may come when we begin to recognize refugees as they truly are, as victims, rather than as perpetrators of violence. I think it's too much to ask of the poorest countries in the region, the non-oil producing countries in particular, to bear the greatest burden of the folly of others.
The latest news out of Syria just seems more and more disturbing every day. The ceasefires just keep seeming to unravel. There's no sign that the refugees in Jordan will be going home anytime soon. Have we exhausted all avenues to bring that conflict to an end?
The average international expectation of residence of a refugee on someone else's soil goes right up to 27 years. So the point is that if these people are to be resident for a period of time in another country, let's say Lebanon or Jordan, if they get the chance, when they get the chance to travel, will they travel as productive citizens or will they travel as embittered human beings? So maybe in the meantime we can assist in the rehabilitation of their personal contribution to the community in which they live.
And your solution for an end to the conflict in Syria? Is there a solution?
I believe that the great powers have the ability to isolate the causes of conflict by looking at the agenda of issues that separate them worldwide. And let's not forget that the Russians were occupying Beirut in the 1840s. Let's not forget that the line of the Volga from the Baltic all the way down to Hormuz is a line where people on the one side talk about the Eurasian Rim and on the other side talk about good neighborhood policy. So my conclusion is that despite generally cloudy relations and controversial relations between the great powers, they are capable of isolating and even solving specific dangerous international issues if and where they have common interests. So I think that today the Arabs, as usual, are cannon fodder. But one should ask the so-called great powers, where do their common interests lie? Do they lie in the fragmentation of the Near East and the Levant, or do they lie in a call to a stop? Today, we are 100 years from Sykes-Picot. This is 2016. That was 1916. And that agreement, of course, drew a new map of the region. 2 years' time, it will be 1918, Versailles. Can we imagine a new Versailles where all energies will be brought to a table to solve problems rather than to create further problems for the suffering masses of this world?
And a very warm thanks there to His Royal Highness Prince El Hassan bin Talal of Jordan. And I'm Tracy McClure.